You can pray until he gets to.
Oh, okay. I was looking for, I saw this song in there a while ago, and I was going to try it. Try to find it again, and I. Oh, well. He didn't give me time to find it again. Does anybody like to testify while I'm trying to find it? God been good to you or not?
Thank the Lord for saving me. Every day he's good to me. Every day. Gave me some money to take care of me. The Lord takes care of me. She does
pray. Okay. I should already know it. The choir sung it so much. It will.
Thank the Lord for saving me and being so good to me, answering prayers, supplying my needs, traveling mercies. Thank you for Calvary, the cross, that he shed his blood to wash away our sins. I thank you for it. Thank the Lord.
Okay. Amen.
Thank you for loving me. Thank you for my Christian life and my Christian family. And thank you for my.
Anybody else? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
I thank you for saving me and for his many blessings. Watching over me, keeping me safe. For everything you've done for me. Thank the Lord for saving me. For everything that he's done for me. Thank you for all the prayers that he's answered. Thank you for giving me a wonderful family and children, a church family. I thank the Lord for all of that. Thank you for being so good to me and that he's never failed me, he's never let me down. Even in my lowest time in my life, he's always been there for me to keep me back up.
I thank the Lord for saving me.
Okay. We sung this so much at community, the choir did, and I've always loved this song. In fact, I told Brother B a while ago, I don't know very few songs that I don't like as far as Christian music. You know it, you can sing along with me if you want to. I'm sure you do. How many of you believe that you're lucky? Okay. You're blessed, aren't you? It's not anything to do with luck. I don't even believe in luck myself. I know I say every once in a while, but I just, you know, making a statement. But I'm blessed. And you are too. So let's try to sing this. I am blessed. Do you know it? Okay. Let's start with the chorus because it's easier to do that, I think. No, I ain't. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to start with the words. Through the sunshine and rain, even sorrow and pain, Jesus is my comfort and my guide. And his love comforts me, and his grace has set me free, and someday I shall stand by his side. I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. I have shoes on my feet, I have have plenty to eat and a home in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine by my neighbor, and we share in that home beyond the sky. I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. Amen. If we're blessed, let's smile. Okay? All right. Smile a while and give your face a lift. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a great big old smile. Now that you're smiling, I'm going to try to give you a message this morning. You know, I preached that last Sunday. And we have our preacher's fellowship every third Thursday of the month. Now, I was called on to preach one time, a long time ago. And I preached a message. And then, you know, we had 20 minutes limit so we can get two or three or four preachers in. You know, Baptist preachers, most of them, they like to preach, don't they? So what they do is get up and take the whole service almost, because we always start at 10 o'clock. We had a song or two, you know, and we're supposed to close at 12. Well, we're trying to, like I said, get four in at least, maybe three at the most, four, okay? And so we told them, said, now look, 20 minutes, give me a 20-minute message, okay? So I got up there, and they called on me to preach. I could have been, thought I was giving them a 20-minute message, and I did. And after the service, we were shaking hands, this preacher came up to me and said, I enjoyed that little Sunday school lesson. And it kind of hurt my feelings in a way. I think I was just probably, you know, had my feelings on my shoulder and I dared somebody to knock them off, and he did. I guess that's what happened. I don't know. But anyway, I think he really meant it. The way he said it, enjoyed that little Sunday school lesson. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little Sunday school lesson last Sunday, because, you know, I enjoyed preaching it intimately. And by the way, Sister Nancy, we missed you, and missed you singing too. So praise the Lord, you're here today. Amen. Everybody needs a little break once in a while, I believe. But you know, don't make it no habit, okay? Because God expects us to be in God's house on the day of, you know, that He set aside for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, first of all, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Okay, this is where that Paul was telling young Timothy, you know, to preach the word, to be in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And surely that's the time that we are in right now. We're in that time. Well, Paul was talking to young Timothy, and he was trying to encourage young Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we find that he told him to, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, now this is verse 1 of chapter 1. To Timothy, verse 2, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Then he goes on to tell him, he said, I want to call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in the grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, and in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Here's the Lord's testimony right after that, and then it goes on to say, this cause also in verse 12, then in there, he says, well, this cause which cause also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I am believing, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto them against that day. Now I hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul, now he's talking to young Timothy. He's in trying to encourage young Timothy, and it encourages me every time I read these scriptures to keep on preaching on. And here we go right here in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, in chapter 2, we see he's telling young Timothy to be strong and in the grace of Christ. We see that the word of God is not bound. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, or his gospel, in other words. So you see then that he saw and he realized that people were going to start to have itching ears and turn away from the preaching of the Word of God as we know it today. In other words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, the day that we're living in right now, we find that there's a lot of changes in things that people preach today. We see also that there's a lot of script, not a lot of scripture, but a lot of preaching that has been watered down to tickle the ears of those that wanted to be taught like that. So I had never wanted mine to be like that. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I told you a long time ago that I come from the old school. And thank God that I did. Maybe I came along in the wrong time, but I feel like that I came along in the right time. And I feel like today that God is showing the world something now. And I believe that right now is one of the best times we could ever live and preach the Word of God. Because we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely we need to realize that we're still, God is still in the soul-saving business. He's still on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on this day and time that we're living in. And even though that we're here today, and even though that we are of the old school, and we know that by the Bibles and what we just read a few minutes ago, that they have open itching ears and want the gospel change, but I'm here to tell you the gospel has never changed. It never will change. And so thank God that we have the Word of God to rest on. We have the Word of God to, you know, believe in. And thank God today that Jesus Christ will soon come back. I'm looking forward to the coming of Christ, aren't you? The Bible tells us in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and I want to read this, and I know you've read it many times, but I want to try to read it again. It says, "This know, that in last days, perilous time shall come." Well, I think about that, and I believe that perilous time has already come. So, if that's the truth, then what days are we living in? We're living in the last days, are we not? We can just rest assured that soon, very soon, Jesus Christ is going to step out on the eastern sky. And he's going to call his children home. Those that know him as their personal Savior. And those that be left behind, that's going to be sad, isn't it? And it tells us here that we are living in a day for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, heady, high-minded, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy. I cannot understand why that people should be so unthankful for what God has done for them. I'm here to tell you today that people are having a form of godliness, but they're denying the power, and they're denying the power thereof. But what does it say in the next few words? From such, turn away. Isn't that what he was saying? Trying to tell us that, yes, even though it happens, and there's a form of godliness, and there's a lot of people today that are saying that we need to let the young people have their way. The only way that we can win them is, through the love of God. Surely, yes, they might need some other things, but I'm here to tell you that the way they get saved is just like we did many years ago. I think about Bernard's little grandson. We went to revival one night, and the guy preached the Word of God just like I've always known that it was. And what happened? The Holy Spirit convicted him of his sin. He said, "Can I go to the altar and be saved?" I wasn't right there outside of him because I had to get up and went out for a second or two. And then when I come back, he was down in the altar praying, asking the Lord to save him. But you know now, people are not preaching like that anymore. We're to preach the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God loves us and he cares for us. And he told young Timothy how to preach the gospel. Said, because here it is right here, he preached the word, he said. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Preach the word. He didn't say change the word. He said preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So what are we to do today? We're to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Well, the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And this is what the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy. Trying to teach him. What does the word exhort mean? Lift up. Did it not? And then he goes on, I'm going to go on into Titus today. Because how will we get to heaven? We get to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, do we not? Well, how do we get to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ? By grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood has been shed there on Calvary's cross. So you see, here it is, teaching of the grace of God right here in Titus, the book of Titus. Teachings of the grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's what it says here in verse 11 of Titus chapter 2. Now, he told him to teach sound doctrine, Titus, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. All right. Verse 11 says then, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, God tells young Timothy to preach the gospel, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, long suffering, with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, as you go into Titus, he's telling young Titus, he said, the teaching of the grace of God are teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said, young Timothy, in other words, has preached the gospel that because they're going to have itching ears and they're going to turn their head from, turn their heart from sound doctrine. But now he's saying that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Looking, in verse 3, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, it's not going to be very long before. Now, it goes on in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us. Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now let me tell you right now, we're not saved by good works, but he's telling us that we should have good works after we are saved. We're to work for the Lord, aren't we? Sure we are. And if we don't work for the Lord, then something happens somewhere along the line. Because he says that he purified himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And then it goes on in chapter 3. It tells us that we're justified by God's grace. In other words, we're just as if what? We're never sinned, right? That's the love of God. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried. He rose the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, it says here, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And we're justified by God's grace, just as if we'd never sinned. In other words, it casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. Oh, I got that backwards. As far as the east is from the west. To remember their sins no more. I'm glad Jesus Christ don't remember my sins anymore. What sins are you talking about, that old song says? What sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? I tell you, he's so good that he loved us enough that he would give his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for our sins, that we might not have to go to hell, but we would be able to go to heaven one day. And I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Over there in 1 Thessalonians, you know, he tells us about that. He said it, and I'm not going to try to look for it, but he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that remain shall be caught up with them in the air, to be ever be with them and with the Lord. So we got a lot to look forward to, haven't we? And every time we think about how bad things are, let's say it's closer to the Lord's coming, and we'll be out of here for long. And I was listening to somebody this morning, and they said, the King is coming. You know, I just said that the other week. Who was it? One Sunday from last, I think it was. The King is coming. The King is coming. Think about that. The King is coming. I told Brother Bill, I didn't have an outline, and I didn't. And I was probably chased a few rabbits, and I probably did. But that's all right. I hope that God's pleased with me telling y'all that. I know you've heard it many times. I know that God wants you to keep on hearing it, to encourage you to work for the Lord, live for the Lord, pray to the Lord. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for every word of it. Lord, it hasn't changed. And it never will change. So, Lord, let's just help us to keep on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we know the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. So, therefore, we want to keep preaching the Word of God. And, Lord, again, as I preached last Sunday, I trust that you'll take the word of God and use it in the hearts and the lives of each one that are here today. Not only that, Lord, but that instead of being discouraged, help us to be encouraged with the word of God. Lord, if there's one here today, Lord, it's discouraged. We ask, Lord, that you'll just help them today to come to the old-fashioned altar prayer and pray, ask the Lord to help him. Because he is the one we all need. He's an all in all that we need. So help us, Lord. Trust him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Now, come on. For you.
249.
You want, huh?
249. Just as I am. Just as I am. If you want to give an invitation.
Just as I am, come on. You got it? Yeah. I'll let you lead it. Just as I am. That's the way God wants every one of us. And all say that we're saved. And that's the way we came if we're saved. Just as we are. And when we came to Him, He saved us for Christ's sake. He saved us that we might be able to go to heaven one day. And the only way to be able to go is heaven, is to accept Him that died for our sins on Calvary's cross. And let's trust Jesus.